The priest tells the guy to go get a, like, tree branch to hit her over the head with it. I don't know what they thought was gonna do to a demon or an evil spirit. And so he's like, okay.
What if it's a holy branch?
I don't think he blessed it.
Oh, damn it.
But because oversight. This is what happens. He tries to hit her, and then she vanishes.
Should have blessed the tree branch. Rookie mistake, priest.
Yeah, rookie mistake. Thanks, priest.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to episode 2 of What Tales Lurk in the Dark.
Hello, everyone.
I'm John, and this is Teresa. Say hi, Teresa.
Hi, I'm Teresa.
Nice to meet you, Teresa.
Nice to meet you, too, John.
Happy Valentine's Day, everybody. It won't be Valentine's Day when it's released, but right now it is.
Yeah, we're old news.
Yeah, I know. We're always going to be a few days behind. Just watch, like a whole country may blow up tomorrow, and we're going to be out of the loop.
Oh, God, that's such a tragedy. No one will be able to listen to the new episode.
I know. How unfortunate for us.
That's sad.
Something that we forgot to mention last week is, like, why we chose folklore specifically and urban legends specifically, like, what relationship they have with each other. I think, like, urban legends compared to folklore is just, like, they're kind of the same thing, right?
Well, I mean, urban legend kind of implies, like, urban kind of, like, cities. Folklore is something that's been passed down through generations. At least that's the connotation I associate right. with it anyway.
It's like, urban like folklore is something historians learn, while urban legends is, like, I don't know, like everyday people today.
Like teenagers trying to scare each other.
Mm-hmm. And it's like, I feel like folklore at one point was also like that, but it's like, now it's not.
Yeah.
And it's, I think that's, like, why they're such, like, that's why we chose them, right? Is because they have that connection.
Yeah.
All right. Well, are we ready to get started?
I'm ready.
Oh, man. Oh, wait. Do you want to talk about your flu episode at all?
Oh, God. Okay. I guess if you guys are curious about my life, I am sick right now. Well, I'm recovering anyway. I got, like, sick over the weekend because I was visiting with my family, and they gave me what I thought was the flu. So I went to the doctor, and they were testing me for the flu. It was negative, but apparently I had a really high, like, heart rate, and I was in there. I thought I was going in there for just a nose swab, and I ended up going in there for an AKG, and it was, like, an hour and a half.
I was in the waiting room the whole time. Yeah. I involuntarily took a nap.
Oh, it was terrible. I was so scared. That's why my heart rate was probably so fast, because I got nervous at the doctors, and they were, like, giving me so much water and Gatorade. Oh, my God. Yeah, I don't even want to talk about it.
All right. So let's talk about something else that's weird and tragic.
What's weird and tragic?
Mermaids, surprisingly.
Mermaids.
All right, let's start this out with my trademark opening story that no one else has ever done, ever. Plot twist, they do. You're sitting in your quarters as you finish recording events of the morning in your log. You let out a sigh of boredom. It is your third week out at sea, after all, and it could not have been a more dull voyage. You come out of your quarters to look at your crew on deck, to find that they are all looking over port side. Before you can question them, one by one, they start hopping overboard. You scream at them, but they pay no heed. Amongst your fury, you begin to hear a song. It is the most beautiful and graceful song you have ever heard. You must know the source. You run to port side to look upon the most beautiful woman you have ever seen. And before you can really think about it, you have already jumped overboard to get closer. But when you do, you and your crew will never be seen again. Today, I'm covering the siren / mermaid.
Is that Kingsley?
Yeah, that was definitely Kingsley hopping up on the fridge.
Oh, he's trying to get treats.
The mascot has let himself be known.
For the first time, he was up on the table earlier, and I was like, oh God, he's going to step on my laptop and mess up the recording. But I guess now he has decided to go on top of the fridge.
Yeah, he seems bored today.
Yeah, he's really bored.
So he's going to be
furious.
He's
like, where's my Valentine's gift?
He's like, you guys get all these treats and I get nothing.
I gave him a treat earlier.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man. So, yeah, if you haven't made the connection, I am covering the siren slash mermaid.
Oh, he's so cute.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, God. What a cutie.
I wonder if that picked up.
I hope it did.
Fell onto the floor pretty hard.
I hope he's okay. So, the mermaid has a lot of interpretations throughout Europe. Some are hostile and some are not. But they all have a theme of beauty and seduction, and I thought it would be a great creature for Valentine's Day. Because either it's about them seducing humans or actually falling in love with humans. There's always that general theme of relationships with the mermaid. And I also want to mention that the mermaid is an older folk story, and even wider than the Wendigo. It spreads all over the world, and it is actually much older than the Wendigo. So it may seem like I'm juggling a bunch of different concepts here. But let's get started on the appearance. Out of all of characters, all creatures of folklore mythology, few has persisted in today's society as much as the mermaid. To the point, I feel like it's unnecessary to describe the modern interpretation to you. But to stay consistent with the other ones, the modern interpretation is normally seen as a torso and head belonging to a woman or man, but from the waist down, it's a fish-like tail. But as stated before, in the last episode, modern interpretations rarely are consistent with the original concepts, such as the siren of Greek mythology. Believe it or not, the sirens from Greece, their features are way different than what we imagine today. In ancient Greek art, they were depicted as birds.
Birds?
Yeah, birds.
Oh, wait, hold on. In The Last Unicorn? Oh, no, that was a harpy.
You know what? I meant to study that, what separates a harpy from a siren, because it doesn't seem like much, because that's essentially what a siren would look like, is the harpy from The Last Unicorn. Huh. Tits out and all.
Oh, wow.
But, I mean, tits out were already normal.
You thought this was a kid's movie. You thought wrong.
Yeah, The Last Unicorn is strange.
Tits out for the kids.
They originally were just depicted as birds with a woman's head.
Well, sorry if you hear some crinkling. I'm getting some Valentine's Day chocolates.
I feel like you don't even listen to me anymore.
Okay, hold on. We'll edit it out.
Edit it out? I'm the one editing this week.
I'm just grabbing a couple.
I am keeping this in to show how awful you are to me.
I can't handle this abuse. Okay, sorry. I can hear his crinkling. Okay, I'm gonna stop. Okay.
All right, we're back. So they were originally depicted as birds with a human's head, like a woman's head, that would sing, but from the neck down, they were just birds.
With boobs.
No, not with boobs. That comes later. Yep.
Repackaged version.
They were depicted later in Greek art as women with bird-like feet with or without wings. So they may just show a little leg, and just have a bird claw talons.
So kind of like the chick from Devilman.
Yes, the chick from Devilman.
Her name is Cylene, right?
Cyrene.
Oh, Cyrene.
Wow, that's weird. I never made that connection. Who knew that 70s manga was right?
Oh, wait. We're letting our weeb show again.
God damn it. I told you not. Like, at least wait till we do a
relevant
Japanese. It is relevant. But, all right. We're not going to mention anime or manga again until we cover a Japanese creature.
Fingers crossed.
So, it wasn't until the 15th century, the 14th century, that we got the modern interpretation. But the reason why is because in the Middle Ages, they were given the mermaid tail, but they still had wings and instruments. But in the 14th century, they were just the mermaid we know today. That's early Renaissance, right? Just to be sure, 14th century is when it kind of started.
No? Renaissance is in the 15th, maybe the late 1400s, but it was in the 15th century. So.
Okay.
Not the 15th century, but the 1500s.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so this is the 14th century. So this would be 1300s. So yeah, no, this would be like proto-Renaissance best.
It's like more like the Byzantine Middle Ages.
Right. So it's kind of interesting, though, that the idea of like the modern mermaid has been around for what? Like not like
hundreds of years?
Eight centuries. Like our modern interpretation has stayed true.
Is that not 700 years if it was in the 1300s?
It's the 21st century now. And this was from the 14th century.
So the 1300s. So 20 divided, or minus 13.
We're showing our genius show right
700.
Now. 700. So, yeah.
We know how to do math.
Oh my god.
We're historians and we know how to do math.
We're neither.
I have a PhD in both, actually.
All right, so they had the hypnotic voice and all. Like, they actually were focused on that. I'll get into why mermaids and sirens, like, are kind of mixed together here a bit later. But first, let's rewind a bit. The siren was not the only mermaid out there, believe it or not. Like, a lot of people make the siren out to be the origins. Hell, even if you Google mermaids, they say the origins is Greece. But that's not fair to say, because you can find origins throughout the whole world of, like, multiple different centuries and stuff, because the true origins are actually before Greece even existed. There are stories of many different men and women having tales of specific sea creatures around the world, such as the, oh god, here we come. Alright, so if any Scots or Irish people out there who are really pro about the Gaelic language, I'm pronouncing that right, at least. I forgot to Google the pronunciation of that.
Aren't you, like, Irish or something?
Well, alright, I'm, like, Irish / Scottish American. I don't count that as, like, true Irish / Scot. Okay. I get, like, it means I get to wear a shirt that says, "Kiss me, I'm Irish" on St. Patrick's Day. It doesn't mean I'm, like, a genius when it comes to Irish religion or anything.
You guys really like the Irish pub when your parents go out.
It's true, they do. To town. Which is hilarious because my dad is the one is the Scot side, so he actually doesn't like the Irish pub. He likes he likes antagonizing them.
But he goes to Brennan's all the time.
My point exactly. He likes to antagonize them. So, I'm going to try to pronounce this Scottish mermaid. It is spelled C-E-A-S-G, and there have been multiple
different pronunciations. Are you not actually pronouncing it?
Oh, yeah, I am.
Oh, okay.
Kiosk?
Good luck.
Kiosk is one of the pronunciations. I'll get more into this later. She is one with a salmon tail. Specifically salmon.
Hmm.
And then we have Mila Lobo, the king of the sea in Chiloé Archipelago.
The one you said before that sounded like Spanish.
It is.
Lobo?
It's from Chile.
Oh!
Yeah, it's an island off of southern Chile.
I was like, hold on. I thought you were only doing Irish and Scottish. That's why I was like, hold on.
I am, like, for the purposes of this entire thing, I'm going to be focusing on a Eurocentric view, because when people think mermaid, they think of that. And I'm like, well, time to please the audience. Well, I mean, I could go on. But do you really want to be here for like 3 hours? Because that is how much shit.
That's okay. My story is aiming for another demographic.
Thank God. Because I don't want to seem like an awful person here. To be fair, first episode is not a white guy. So so this Mila Lobo has a tale of a sea lion. He was said to be born from a human mother and a sea lion father. On this podcast, I try not to disrespect people's ancient culture, but man, a woman was really out there fucking a sea lion. But, alright. To be fair, though, Europeans don't get a pass either because they want to fuck a fish.
Yeah, I mean, Zeus, he like had sex with someone as a swan.
True.
Yeah.
God. And then, like, in general, a lot of people want to fuck a mermaid, and that's literally a fish.
Half a fish.
Half a fish. But it's the half that counts.
The titties.
All right. So now I'm going to go back. Now I'm going to come to cultural origins. Enough about the appearance, because we can't really get the concept. Mm-hmm. Human upper body, lower body being a sea creature. Though I am going to break that, because I am going to talk about a few things that kind of break away from that general standard. Mm-hmm. But so we're going to get, like I mentioned before, we're going to be a bit Eurocentric, but I would feel disingenuous to go without mentioning the concept of fish-tailed mammals first existed, for as far as I know, within Mesopotamian mythology. From such a, like, there's a lot, but there's one that specifically stands out because it is a symbol for their god Ea, also known as Enki. It is called the Suhrmasu. It was a has a goat torso but a mermaid-like tail from the waist down. According to some historians, the image of Suhrmasu has inspired the symbol of the Capricorn sign from astrology. As for the siren, the emeritus professor of comparative Indo-European linguistics from Leiden University, Dr. Robert S.P. Beeks, stated that it was possible for siren folklore to have existed prior to the creation of Greek language. So not only before the creation of Greece itself, but prior to the language. Or in other words, it existed within one, at least one of the languages that existed in prehistoric times. So that's enough of linguistics. The siren are just old as fuck. And I cannot really put a date on when they were created because, well, they are just prehistoric creatures. But, prehistoric animals. At first, the siren existed as a story to explain what happens when sailors get lost at sea or disappear mysteriously. But as I mentioned before, the mermaid and siren get crossed together when Christianity took over European culture during the prior to the Middle Ages and during the Middle Ages. And that's because both mermaids and sirens became synonymous as symbols of lust and temptation to remind people to be reserved. Because even though sirens and mermaids are not the same, mermaids are also about, like, lust. Even if they're not necessarily punishing people's lust, they're always about trying to find love with a mermaid. It's always about love and generally sex. Before I move on to the lore aspect, I feel like I have to mention something. Do you remember Smith?
He's from Pocahontas?
Yeah, he's the hot blonde man from Pocahontas. But
hot blonde man?
He is kind of a hot blonde man. Like, look at that. Look at those. Lie. Look at those jawline. Those. And those cheekbones are good too.
And Dorito-shaped body.
Oh, dude. Nothing like a Dorito-shaped body, let me tell you. But in reality, he was just a really old man who was one of the founders of Jamestown, Virginia.
Yeah.
But there are records he has claimed to have seen a mermaid.
Did he sleep with the mermaid?
No, but he did see the fish titties.
Oh, whoa.
It's a disputed record because if people think it was it was not actually written by John Smith.
Who was it written by then?
Somebody on the voyage who just wanted to make fun of John Smith. I don't know the full deal. You can find it online.
Like, they were like, what's this diary entry about John Smith seeing a mermaid? Ha ha ha. Like, that just seems so lame.
Somebody just found a thing that was supposedly written by John Smith where he has claimed to have seen a mermaid. Now, I don't know how true it is. It's disputed amongst the historians. You can find out why. But it was not the only claimed sighting of mermaids in the 1600s. Historians mainly claim that many of these hoary sailors have just mistaken manatees as mermaids.
That's awkward.
Mm-hmm. Because a lot of these were in the Caribbean and southern United States. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, that's kind of where manatees live, right?
Which, yeah.
Found that out earlier this Florida. Year. I kind of assumed they were, you know, like other sea mammals lived in the north. And then Trace is like, no, they're in Florida. And I was like, what?
Oh, yeah, manatees are in Florida. My uncle has a house by a river, and they see manatees all the time.
Oh, my God.
You can go kayaking with the manatees.
I would love to. They sound beautiful. Apparently, they look like mermaids, and they have fish titties.
Yeah, I mean, the bottom half might look like a mermaid.
I think that's interesting, though. Hmm. So, yeah, there's that. Now I'm going to go on to the lore aspect. Sirens are pretty straightforward when it comes to how they hunt.
They're honest gals.
They're honest gals. Like, we already know that pretty much what they mainly do is that they wait for sailors to come by, they sing, lure them, and that to their deaths. Either to eat them or just to kill them, who knows. But where did they come from? Some believe they come from a primordial titan of the sea. They just exist to hunt and eat hardy sailors. But a more interesting story to their origin comes from Jason and the Golden Fleece.
Where it is that Bible?
No, that is...
I'm thinking of the Technicolor thing. Mm-hmm. Never mind.
Jason, the Technicolor Dreamcoat. Shit.
Wait, did you say Jason? I thought his name was Joseph.
Fuck.
Hold on.
I'm an atheist. I get a pass. But this is also known as Jason and the Argonauts, where Jason teams up with a bunch of other famous Greek heroes to go find the Golden Fleece. I remember reading this in sixth grade. He explains that they used to be nymphs or fairies of song. They were the handmaidens of that guarded Persephone. Ooh. And if you know Persephone, you know what happens to Persephone. After she is kidnapped by Hades, Demeter, the goddess of agriculture, curses the sirens to have bird wings and feet and features. And the curse would be lifted when they find Persephone.
Damn, why take her anger out on her handmaidens?
Because they failed their job. They had one job. Damn. And they failed.
I don't know if Persephone would have wanted that.
Mm-hmm. Well, she probably not. She seemed
like an honest gal.
Probably the only one in Olympus. Well, she was I don't know, Persephone's story. Maybe we can go over that another time.
I'm just taking it from... Okay, you know what? Forget this.
Where they did end up just giving up. Because, well, Persephone wasn't on Earth, so after traveling a while, they just gave up and parked their asses on an island and to just kill travelers. Ooh. They don't even eat them. They just want them to die.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Maybe it's a product of the curse, maybe not. There's a lot to be disputed. But not all mermaids aim to eat humans. Some are fans of humans, while others have ulterior motives than just murder and feasting. For instance, let's go back to the kiosk. Kiosk? Seesk? I couldn't find a conclusive pronunciation. I saw multiple sources that claimed each of these three were different correct. Mm-hmm. I think seesk is the most, like, insulting because C in Gaelic, I found out, is pronounced with, a K. So it's much more likely as kiosk or kiosk. Or something like that. I'm terrible at pronunciation. Teresa knows this. Ask her if you want to if you want to know how bad I am at different languages. And this won't be my last apology, but I'm still going to try my best. But this Scottish mermaid are not seductive mass murderers. They serve a similar purpose as the genie. I don't know you guys, but I remember hearing somewhere as a kid, if you catch a mermaid, she will grant you a wish. Do you remember hearing that ever?
No.
Yeah, I remember hearing that as a kid from something. Maybe it was like a short, like a Tom and Jerry thing or something.
Yeah, I don't remember that at all.
But it seems like in the story of the kiosk that started this, it seems that that story started this. Because legend says if you manage to catch a kiosk, she will grant you three wishes. Though be careful. If you end up pissing it off, it'll lead to your death. A lot like it acts a lot like the siren. It will try to just lure you to your death, hypnotize you, and kill you. And God forbid you try to kill them, because they are unkillable by normal means. Like if you were to stab it, shoot it, even if you like nuked it specifically, it will not die, because its soul is like a phylactery for a lich. God, my D&D just showed. Or like a horcrux for Snape. That's a more acceptable nerd thing, right? So basically, it's so belonged in.
You said for Snape. It's Voldemort.
Oh, fuck. Look, I never finished the movies or read the books.
I was like, hold on, something's wrong.
Oof. Man, I only watched the first movie where they thought Snape was Voldemort for like 10 minutes.
Did they?
Yeah.
I think you're thinking of the other guy.
No, they definitely.
The guy with the turban?
No. That was actually Snape.
It was Voldemort.
Voldemort. Sorry, Snape was an asshole too. They're all assholes with a weird nose.
Alan Rickman.
Yeah, I love Alan Rickman. I can't believe I said that. I am so sorry.
Your guys' nose is almost identical.
Yeah, I think I have a weird nose too. Yeah. I am Scottish/Irish after all. It be like that. All right, so if you try to kill it, you have to destroy the object where they put their soul into it. I think that's a really interesting story idea, because it could be a conch shell if you want to go more basic, or it could be something that they hold very dear, like a picture or a tree that they love, even though they're in the ocean, so a tree wouldn't work. Coral? I don't know. But say you and the kiosk fall in love with each other. You fish chasing scaly, furry bastard. Sorry, this joke planned out better
it's
in my head when I wrote
out of
it.
Control.
She would then crush your dreams of furry/scalyhood by turning into an actual human being. If you guys fell in love together.
So like the Little Mermaid.
Just like the Little Mermaid. And
except
other
for not the original story of the Little Mermaid, but the Disney version.
I never, you know, I should have studied that because that would have been funny to talk about.
The original one, she turns into sea foam.
Ooh, weird. Mm-hmm. Maybe if I did a story section, I might have covered that. If you're still able to love her despite her no longer being part fish, then you two would live together very happily and have sea-loving children who just love the sea. Hell, even today, people claim that one of their ancestors was a kiosk.
So, like, can they not turn into mermaid people either, or?
What, the children?
Yeah.
No. They're
so this isn't like H2O?
No. No, it's not like H2O.
Do you remember that show?
Yeah, I remember that show.
The chick that whenever she touched water, she grew a fishtail?
Yeah, I remember. I never watched it, but I saw like the first
episode.
How
inconvenient. Like you can never take a shower without just... Yeah, I think she could drink water. It just couldn't touch her skin. But I guess her mouth is fine. I don't know.
Like, what about the skin around the mouth? Like, I just spilled some, like, water on my, like... The area right below my lip. Is she fucked then?
Well, she's obviously not as messy as you.
Damn. What gives lip skin a pass?
Lip skin?
Lip skin.
She always uses a straw.
I didn't know that. That's great.
I don't know if that's true or not. I just said it.
Damn. Well, it should be. Where am I at? Where am I at in my notes?
We're in Ireland with the kiosk.
So, if you do end up falling in love and you live together and have children, you would have to give up on having the wishes that you originally sought. But in return, you would have good luck for the rest of your life. Hmm. As well, with a beautiful lady who loves you.
Aww.
Though, one day she may leave you high and dry. Because her love of the sea is so strong that she would miss it so greatly that at some point, she might just have to leave you and return to being a kiosk.
That's kind of sad.
Oh, yeah. It's tragic. Mm-hmm. Oh. It's kind of like a tragic love story, you know?
Like Romeo and Juliet.
No. I don't think it's like that at all. There's not like
that. They're starboard cross lovers.
God damn it.
John likes that because he comes from a sailing family.
Yeah, I do. Maybe I had a ancestor that was a mermaid.
Probably. Doubt it, though.
So, I feel like I forgot about somebody. Who do you think I forgot about them?
What do you mean?
Oh, that's right. What about King Triton from The Little Mermaid? I hear the Disney fans scream. Well, he is also from Greek mythology, but he's not really related to sirens or mermaids, though mermaids don't exist within Greek mythology. But he was the son of Poseidon. He carried around a magic trident and a conch shell. He's not known for doing He is most known for doing something the exact opposite of sirens. He has saved sailors who were lost at sea instead of causing them to die and eating them. He created an island that exists today. And I'm guessing people who live on that island's like, yeah, we came from Trident. And he ended up giving them directions and letting them rest on the island and gave them directions to guide them home. He's not necessarily a nice guy, though, because he has been known to be mad, just like Poseidon himself.
He's just an honest guy.
He kills people. Mm. I guess it's honest killing. You have to leave. It says
he's a nice guy.
The tributes, he's also an alcoholic, because the tributes he liked most are like cups of wine.
Mm. How's he going to drink wine underwater? Do they just, like, let it go?
I mean, he's not necessarily, like, he talked to people while they were hanging out on the island, so maybe he can just chill outside.
So, like, his upper half is out and drinking wine, and the bottom half is splashing around?
It's, like, just perpetually kicking. I don't know if he's a demigod or full god. Mm-hmm. I didn't research that part. Sorry, that's a failure on my half.
No, but it's okay. He's not really a mermaid.
Assuming he has a fish tail, though.
He has a fish tail.
No, he does have a fish tail.
Oh, he does?
I'm assuming he's a god, because I don't think a demigod would have a fish tail. Mm. But anyways, let's move on, because I got a lot more to go.
Really?
Yeah.
We're at 32 minutes.
Oof. All right, let's try to speed this up. Not all merfolk are friendly. More people are friendly. Finn folk, who come from a northern isle of Scotland in the Orkney Islands, believe that the fish folk were shape-shifting fish people. Not in the mermaid way, but more in the Shadows Over Innsmouth H.P. Lovecraft way, where they were... And the idea of fish people being that they have scaly skin, but they're humanoids. But they have fish features. But they were shapeshifters. And they had their own society beneath the ocean. If that sounded like Lovecraftian shit to you there, it gets worse.
So they're kind of like closer to the shape of water.
Yeah, actually. Mm. Their women were said to be able to shapeshift into beautiful human women, who aimed to seduce and trick men into sleeping with them. When successful, the woman would suck the youth right out of them, and then abduct them and imprison them, where they would just use them as youth batteries to keep them young until they wither into decrepit old men.
What a good way to go.
The Scots are fucking weird. Alternatively, it seems like Finnfolk society is complicated, and even they suffer poverty and lack of work opportunities. It also appears male Finnfolk cannot shapeshift as effectively. So middle-aged Finnfolk women sometimes have to shapeshift into older women, because the older they get, the less beautiful they can shapeshift into women. That wasn't phrased the best, but you get the idea. Mm. They work to get money on shore to support their fishfolk family, because apparently they're they use the same currency. This says that the ways you identify a woman Finnfolk immigrant in disguise is that... they appear... Sorry, I couldn't keep a straight face saying all that ridiculous shit. They appear to be single, elderly, working women who practice witchcraft, have cats, and other stuff to rationalize the alienation persecution of women.
You would think a fish wouldn't want a cat.
I would think so, too, but apparently they had cats.
It's a power move.
It's a power move. I honestly can go on and on to talk about all different types of mermaids and mermaid-like creatures in the world. I stuck primarily with Europe because of everything I explained earlier. But I could talk about, like, for example, Mami Wata, an African goddess that spread around all over Africa and parts of the Caribbean, which spread because, you know, the abduction and enslavement of African people. She appears as a mermaid in the sense of, like, she has a fish tail like a mermaid and upper body of a regular person, but is a goddess that instills creativity, love, and beauty upon all of her followers. She's really chill compared to, like, you know, ancient gods of Greece. I can go on. We would be here all night. Like, there's the Undine I can talk about. Where do mermen fit in all this?
Oh, wait, Undine?
Yeah, the Undine.
Like Undertale?
Fuck, I should have covered the Undyne just to talk about Undertale. Shit.
I'm like bringing up all these references that you didn't catch.
I know.
You're slacking.
I'm a failure. Oh my god. So yeah, the Undyne, apparently there's a good thing there. They're a lot like, they're like a more exaggerated fish person compared to like the Shape of Water. They're a bit, they go a little bit extra. And they're elementals in Greek mythology, I think. Don't quote me on that because I didn't write that down. I'm going to skip story time because I'm already over time. I told many already, it seems, if to me anyway. And let's try to go through the media fast. So obvious art to our generation would be The Little Mermaid. And we already mentioned H2O. I was going to mention that. There was this romance film in the 1980s called Splash. It's got like 60% on Rotten Tomatoes. It's mediocre. But if you really want to see a romance mermaid story and tired of Disney, another film / novel you may or may not remember from when you were kids, group you, second person you, were called, like, this novel / film was called Aquamarine. It was one of those popular novels for kids that got eventually turned into a movie. It was like, you know, there's a lot of those. Like Aragon or so, like that.
That was a good movie.
God, I must be thinking of something else because the movie I thought about was terrible. We cannot deny the impacts of mermaid folklore and its influence on stuff like Aquaman, so that's relevant.
Speaking of that, I really want to see that movie.
Yeah, I haven't seen it either.
Jason Momoa.
Oh, he's great. But what about the darker side of mermaids? We've talked about all the nice ones. I mentioned H.P. Lovecraft earlier, and you can definitely see ripples of folklore affecting his work, such as, like, Shadows of Infinite, which I already mentioned, but there's this, his short story in a film from 2001 called Dagon has an actual mermaid in it. And the film, yeah. Sirens end up making an appearance in Pirates of the Caribbean 4 on Stranger Tides. And we can't really mention sirens without mentioning classics. I already mentioned Jason and the Golden Fleece, but the Odyssey, Homer's Odyssey, is also a one where they show up. If you're looking for new stuff, there is on TV, there's a TV show called Siren that just came out in 2018 on Freeform. And if you're more of a book fan than film and TV, I got some popular books for you. Of Poseidon, which is from the Siren Legacy series. It's the first book. We got Sirena from Donna J. Napoli. Don't be confused with the Sirena Legacy. And there are many series, such as the Ingo series, the Tempest series, Finn series, etc., etc. What about you, Teresa? What else do you get? What have you seen? What
Isn't
can you think
there,
of?
Isn't there that one book series where it's one of the main character is like the son of Poseidon? He's like a demigod.
There's probably mermaids in that. It's called like oh shit!
I can't remember what it's called. There was a huge Tumblr following for it back in the day. Percy Jackson.
Yeah, Percy Jackson. Right.
I never saw it or read it.
But that's it from what I have. Sorry about that. I went way over time.
It's okay. Mine's kind of short, so.
I don't think I'm going to pick a creature this old for a while. Maybe for a special or something, I'll cover, like, dragons.
Dragons.
Or, because that's got a lot of interest.
So we can talk about anime.
Our first Japanese folklore is coming up. Not next week, but soon.
Ooh. Mm-hmm. So, my story is New Mexico's Hairbringer, La Maraora. Have you ever heard of her?
I think I might have.
Okay, so to start it off, I kind of took some inspiration from you. I didn't write my own story, but I'm going to read off one of the most popular renditions of the urban legend. So, my friend Isabella called me one evening before dinner. She was sobbing as she told me that she and her husband, Enrique, were getting divorced. He had moved out of the house earlier that day, and Isabella was distraught. I called my husband, who was on a business trip in Chicago, and he agreed that I should go stay with Isabella for a few days to help her during this difficult time. I packed a small suitcase and got right into the car. It was late, and it would take me at least 4 hours to drive from my home to Santa Fe. Isabella was expecting me to arrive around midnight. As I traveled down the dark, wet highway, I kept feeling chills, as if someone or something were watching me. I kept looking in the rearview mirror, glancing into the back seat. No one was there. Don't be ridiculous, I told myself, wishing fervently that I was home in my bed instead of driving on a dark, rainy highway. There was almost no traffic, and I heartily wished that I would soon reach Santa Fe. I turned off the highway just before I reached the city, and started down the side roads that led to Isabella's house. As I approached a small crossroads, I saw a woman step into the street directly in front of my car. I shrieked in fright and slammed on my brakes, praying I would miss her. The car shuddered to a halt, and I looked frantically around the car for the woman. When I saw her right beside my window, looking in at me, she had the face of a demon, twisted, eyes glowing red, and short, pointed teeth. I screamed as she leapt at my window, her clawed hand shaking the glass. I put my foot down on the accelerator, and the car leapt forward. For a few terrible moments, she ran alongside the car, keeping up easily and striking at me again and again. Sorry. Then she fell behind, and in the rearview mirror, I saw her growing taller and taller until she was as large as a tree. Red lights swirled around her like a mist, and she pointed at me, her mouth moving, though I could not make out the words. I jerked my attention back to the road, afraid what might happen to me if my car ran off the street. I made it to Isabella's house in record time and flung myself out of the car, pounding on her door frantically and looking behind me to see if the demon-faced woman had followed me. Isabella came running to the door and let me in. "Shut the door! Shut it!" I cried frantically, rushing past her into the safety of the house. "Jane, what's wrong?" she asked, slamming the door shut. She grabbed my hand and led me into the living room. I sank onto the couch and started sobbing in fear and reaction. In fear and reaction? Who wrote this? After several minutes, I managed to gasp out my story. Isabella gasped and said, "Are you sure you were at a crossroads when you saw her?" I nodded.
Whoa. A lot of interesting verbs this time around.
I nodded, puzzled by her question. "It must have been La Maravilla," Isabella said, wringing her hands. "The evil hour," I asked. "This is bad, Jane. Very bad," Isabella cried. "La Maravilla only appears at a crossroads when someone is going to die." Ordinarily, I would have laughed at such a superstition, but the appearance of the demon woman had shaken me. Isabella got me a cup of hot cocoa, brought my luggage in from the car, and sent me to bed. She was so concerned for me that she didn't once mention the divorce or Enrique. I felt much better the next morning, but I could not shake the feeling of dread that grew within me that day. Neither of us mentioned La Maravilla, but we were both thinking of her when I told Isabella that I wanted to go home. Isabella insisted on accompanying me. I flatly refused to drive after dark. I was afraid I would see the demon woman again when I passed the crossroads. We left the next morning, and we hadn't been home more than 20 minutes when a police car pulled into my driveway. I knew at once what it meant, and so did Isabella. The officer spoke very gently to me, but nothing could soften the news. My husband had been mugged on the way back to his hotel after dinner last night. His body had not been found until this morning. He had been shot in the head and was killed instantly. So that's like the most popular telling of the story. It's retold by S.E. Schlosser, but it's a really popular one. So basically, La Maravilla means the evil hour in Spanish. She's also called things like La Mara Mujer and La Maravilla, I think. But yeah, like without the La Maravilla.
Oh, she doesn't sound that evil, you know? It's like, it sounds like she's just giving you a warning. She's like, heads up.
Just wait.
Oh, no.
Just wait. She's a little evil.
Oh, no.
Okay, so she often appears at empty roads at night to people traveling alone. It is believed to be a demon or evil spirit. Its size can fluctuate, becoming bigger or smaller at will. When people look into its eyes, it can paralyze them, or worse, drive them insane. So, like, just looking into this woman's eyes can drive you mad.
Oh, wow.
Sometimes it appears as a black mass, and other times as a woman. It really depends on, like, regionally, the description, because in some places in New Mexico, they say it's a black mass. Others will say it's an old woman. Others will say it's a beautiful woman. But I'll get into those different versions later on. I'm gonna readjust. Okay. Let's see, where was I? When in human form, her feet do not touch the ground and she floats like a spirit.
Oh, wow.
Also, apparently, if you look at her feet, sometimes you'll see that her toes are on backwards.
Like, that's wait, what does that mean?
That's what I was wondering. I was thinking maybe it's like her big toe is where the little toe should be, and then subsequently...
Like, you know, my first thought was that, like, her toes are, like on her heel.
Oh, like her feet are backwards?
Sort of, but, like, the toes are just on the
heel. I was just thinking that her, like, whole... Her, like, toes were in a different order.
You know what? We need to, like, make a meme out of this where it's, like, if your toes were backwards, would they look like this or this?
Oh, like the jeans?
Yeah, like the jeans. If dogs wore jeans. Like, you know, it's another concept. Her toes are just upside down.
Ooh.
Yeah, I know.
That's like... creepy, too.
I mean, that sounds inconvenient. Like, imagine, like, stepping on your toenails. Well,
she doesn't step at all. She floats like a spirit. Well,
I guess that's not inconvenient at all.
It doesn't... It's not a problem for her.
Like, what if she'd, like, manifest herself? She's like, I fucked up the toes again.
Can never get this right.
Such a weird detail.
So the people of New Mexico believe that when La Marahora does appear as a woman and you meet her at a crossroads, it is an omen of death for you or someone you know. The urban legend's message is to caution people from traveling alone at night in isolated areas. La Marahora may have originated from the popular Mexican saint Santa Muerta, who is similar to the Grim Reaper. Santa Muerta and La Marahora both foreshadow death, although Santa Muerta is not considered evil. Another theory is that she's similar to a siren, because she will sometimes manifest as a beautiful, long-haired woman dressed in white who puts men into a trance-like state, luring them over the edge of a ravine.
Oh my god.
So she'll lure them to their death.
Yeah, it's like a land siren, by her beauty.
She's a land siren. Wait, what was it? Like, land shark? Was that the... That's a beer, but I think there was a meme of it at one point.
Land shark. Oh, man.
Was that left shark? For Katy Perry's Super Bowl.
Oh, my God.
Back in 2016 or something. That's what I was thinking of. Damn it.
Left shark, right shark.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
And Snoop Dogg tweeted, he was like, I was in the shark suit.
I love Snoop Dogg.
Blast to the past.
Would die up for Snoop Dogg.
Oh, God. So, back to New Mexico. In one story, La Marahora is called La Mara Mujer, which means the evil woman.
So, is it is this mainly popular in New Mexico?
Oh, yeah. It's a popular urban legend.
But what about, like, Mexico?
I don't know.
Oh, okay.
It might bleed down to there.
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe they're more focused on, there's a lot of things that change. Like, they don't even celebrate Cinco de Mayo except for one town.
Yeah, when I was researching it, it seemed like all the stories were coming from New Mexico. So, assuming that's very local to there.
Mm-hmm. That's probably it.
But
like,
I really don't know.
All of the United States celebrate Cinco de Mayo despite Mexico not doing so. Only one town does. So, changes are different. Well.
So yeah, in one story, La Marahora is called La Maramujer. In this rendition, tries to trick a man into believing she is his girlfriend, but he notices that her toes were on backwards. He looked at her feet and was like, "You're not my girlfriend."
What weird toes you have! Better to tickle you, my dear. Oh, <God. laughs> Let me tickle you.
Only the best to play footsie under the table with you, my dear.
Oh my god.
He runs away to find a priest to post a needle for him. He's like, oh, we need some Jesus up in here. Feet are on backwards.
Fuck you and your Satan feet.
What? He takes it and meets La Mara Mujer once more, pretending to be fooled. And he's like, you are my girlfriend. Wink. Nudge, nudge.
And why are you winking at me?
Yeah, so she's like, okay, we're going on this romantic date. And he manages to slip the needle beneath her, and she sticks to the spot.
Oh.
because it was blessed by the priest.
A holy needle.
A holy needle.
What a like what a smart guy. I was thinking guy.
Like, did it stab her?
No, or did it just? I guess like there's properties to holy things other than water. Like, so water's like napalm.
Well, he goes and gets the priest and brings him back to La Mala Mujer, and she's still there. And the priest is, like, praying, and the priest tells the guy to go get a, like, tree branch to hit her over the head with it. I don't know what they thought was gonna do to a demon or an evil spirit. And so he's like, okay.
What if it's a holy branch?
I don't think he blessed it.
Damn it.
But... because oversight. This is what happens. He tries to hit her, and then she vanishes.
Should have blessed the tree branch. Rookie mistake, priest.
Yeah, rookie mistake. Thanks, priest. That's another, and that's why we drink reference.
Oh my god.
So, in another variation, La Maruara has the face of a horse and will race alongside cars of lone travelers.
Oh, man.
So you'll just see a woman with a horse head, like...
damn,
floating next to you very quickly.
Are the hooves on backwards?
No, she just has the face of a horse. She's like a mermaid, but horse and a human. And instead of the mermaid half being the bottom, it's the top half, and she has a horse head.
Dude, she sounds hilarious. Like, I want to meet her. Like, that's a good meme, man.
I don't want to meet her. She sounds really terrifying.
She's so, like,
like what I said before, the different variations of La Maruara depend on where you are in New Mexico, but in all of them, she is an omen of death and targets people traveling alone at night.
Mm. So, yeah, you know what? Or maybe I don't want to meet her, because if I do, that means someone I know will... oh my god, excuse me. Will die. Will burp. So, yeah, I guess that's it, what we have. You know, something we forgot to mention at the beginning of this is that I fucked up again and slipped and told her what I was doing.
Yeah, I didn't say anything about it because I didn't want to make you look bad.
Oh, no, I want to look bad. I think it's hilarious that I fucked up twice, like hours before the podcast starts.
What exactly did you say? I can't remember.
Oh, God, I was talking.
You slipped twice, I remember, but I didn't really notice it the first time because you were saying that you were at the store with my friends. You're saying you're gonna talk
about
mermaids.
Oh yeah, I was like, oh yeah, this. Oh yeah, one of your friends said that she really liked mermaids, so she'll be listening tonight. And I didn't even think about it. That
yeah, we keep trying to seek it because you said it so nonchalantly.
Yeah, and then I slipped again.
You were doing your notes, and you said something about mermaids, and I'm like, why did you tell me again?
And I was like, shit. I just think it's hilarious.
I'm
like, all
real secretive. I was doing my notes earlier, and I heard you coming in behind me, and I like closed the tab.
Oh my god,
I want him to see.
Like, I was so close this time too. We'll see if I can manage next week, guys.
We'll see. Highly doubt it.
All right, well, thank you guys for listening.
Yes, thank you for listening.
You can if you know Scottish or Irish Gaelic and you want to yell at me,
please help him.
You can go to our Facebook page called is there anything?
What Tales Lurk in the Dark podcast.
Yeah, What Tales Lurk in the Dark question mark. Not like
the question mark. Don't forget the question mark.
Like, podcast. Yep. There's a question mark and, right after
you can
dark
also find part us on SoundCloud with the same name.
Yeah, like, how else are you listening to this?
Yeah. Because we're only on SoundCloud.
Mm-hmm. And
maybe they're listening right now.
Wait, huh? What? They would have to. Well, thank you guys for listening.
No, I mean like while we're recording.
Oh, sorry, I was very confused.
Before
I was
it's
like,
uploaded?
Oh my god. So they're like
in our house. Yeah, it doesn't make sense when you're just listening to it. Sorry.
If you're listening to it Sunday when it's released, or Monday, hopefully Sunday. Monday if I fuck up. You'll be, you know, just I forgot where I was going with that. But if you're listening now, happy Valentine's Day. And happy late Valentine's Day to those who listen legally.
Who aren't tapped into our house or something.
Or outside the window, ready to touch us with their upside down feet.
Backwards feet. Backwards toes, specifically.
Oh, God.
What a nightmare.
That's the true scariest thing about her, I think.
When I read that, I was like, what?
If you had backwards toes, would it look like this?
Yeah,
or
no,
this?
I was just laughing so much when he was like, you're not my girlfriend, because it said he looked down at her toes.
Wait, so was he not dating her the whole time? Did I miss that?
No, he thought it was his girlfriend, and then he looked down at her feet and saw that her toes were backwards, and he's like, oh, you're not my girlfriend.
Hold up, I gotta go see the priest.
So I guess he automatically assumed that it was a demon.
You know, not like a hurt twin who had fucked up feet.
Guess not.
Wow, what an ableist.
What's wrong with you?
A lot. All right, good night, everybody.
Good night or good morning or good afternoon, depending on when you're listening.
Good point. I would assume, like, this is, you know, you probably should be listening to this in the dark, because, you know, this is what tales
lurk in the dark. That was a finger snap.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, I have to go pee, so we should really wrap this up.
I feel wrapped up right now. So you're the one with the end call button.
Okay. Good night. Gotta say something funny to close off on.
Oh, God. So, if you have a girlfriend who has backward toes or a fish body, be worried, because she'll either... I don't know what her intentions were, but she was like... Like, what was her intention?
She just wanted to go on a date.
Wow. How lonely. She's, like, tired of telling...
Lonely.
Like, can you imagine? It's like, you know how, like, terrible it is for nurses to tell people that, like, hey, they're dead or you're going to die? It's like, that's her job as a spirit. That's all her existence is. So she just wanted to have a nice fucking day.
Yeah, maybe she just wanted a nice night out on the town. She was celebrating Valentine's Day.
Well, in the case of a lot of the fish folk people, or the fish folk specifically, they just want to suck your youth out of your penis. So good night, everybody.
Goodbye.